For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This episode was recorded January 21st, 2024. Are back with Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3. We stopped for the writers and actors strike, and since then, a lot has happened. If you don't know what SDS9 is, it's Southpaw's DS9 completest watch-along show where we watch every episode, recap it, and analyze it. We are your hosts, Scott and Sam. Scott is someone who's watched DS9 more than once, whereas I'm someone who's casually watched some episodes when it first aired, but this is my first time watching each episode in earnest. And after we watch each episode, we come together and talk about it with today's eyes, but also with a historical and political lens. From the beginning, we've been talking about Palestine, which probably makes our series unique, but also very timely. So we had to come back, and how can we not let what's happening now inform our current watch? It should inform it because this series, as in SDS9, not just the original series that we're talking about, DS9, but this podcast series, is a time capsule to talk about what's happening now, while also talking about a bunch of not always good middle and filler episodes while we do it. So, Scott, how have you been during this hiatus? And your thoughts about this show coming back and you coming back to this SDS9 watch-along series with everything that's been going on in the world and also in your own life, everything that's been going on?
Right. So, without going into super great detail, I am a social worker in Baltimore, Maryland, so I see a lot of what is going on amongst the people of Baltimore and in many ways America, but it is a prism of American detail. But it's impossible to not see how what is going on in Gaza also have parallels to the work that I do and some things that are very difficult, the things that also I find the most, with the most ability to have conversations with people, is to talk about the healthcare and you know, hospitals and that sort of thing, medical access. So what I see where the situation in Gaza is getting graver and graver, we have this issue of medical access. And in this country, we also see the issue of medical access. However, this is one of the richest countries in the world, and Gaza is not. And it's not even seen as a country by many people. And then as a Jew that loves their culture, but has a lot of trouble with what is going on over there, it has been a revelation and a revolution for many of my Jewish brothers and sisters and everyone in between on all gender and non-gender spectrums, that it's like we're at a place in our faith where we have some thinking to do, and where we want to be and where you want to stand on the side of history. And I think it's clear the side that I want to stand. So when we took the break for the strike, I sort of needed a little bit of a break just to focus on some other things in my life and also get back the joy. Because as you're saying, we're doing a lot of middle episodes, and those episodes can be really challenging or not that exciting, or, you know, you and I are just like pulling honey out of a rock on some of these episodes. So I was sort of happy to have a little bit of a break. And I do not believe that you can talk about Deep Space Nine in a vacuum without looking at the politics connected to it when it was made and how it reflects itself as a prism to us now. So I actually think that the work that we are doing is even more prescient as events of the world unfold.
Whether we wanted it to be or not, right?
Definitely didn't want it.
This was supposed to be kind of a fun series where we talk about some politics and maybe educate ourselves, educate some people. But then all of a sudden, because of our unique take and then because of everything that happened, it seemed like, oh, the show got more heavy. The show like has some responsibility. It became more important.
Yeah. And you just sort of see there are parallels between the Cardassians that might make some people very uncomfortable, and the Federation that might make some people uncomfortable, and the Bajoran people, depending on who they're written, were, you know, interestingly enough, sometimes a facsimile of Jews or facsimile of Palestinian, facsimile of people that were going on, what was going on in Bosnia and Sarajevo and Armenian people. But you can't look at the occupation of Bajor and not see some parallels to the world that we live in. And revisiting all of this has been challenging, but something that I'm willing to do. There was a moment where I wasn't sure I could continue, but I think it's important work to be done. And I do think it's very important that for the future, that there's so many wonderful, beautiful Trek fans that are discovering Trek now and are leftists or like left curious. Maybe they call themselves liberals. Maybe they call themselves Democrats. I don't know. But they start listening and they're like, okay, cool, cool, cool. And they notice bits and pieces of leftism purposefully or non-purposefully sprinkled in Star Trek. And they find Deep Space Nine and they're like, oh, this is like really the most politically interesting one of the earlier days, and I still think probably period. And you know, there is Mission Log, which is another podcast that goes over every single episode of Star Trek, but they don't look at it from the lens that we look at it from. So I think it's important when all is said and done, and we've done every episode of Deep Space Nine, and which is going to be a little while, we have this, I don't want to sound like braggadocious, but like a gift for younger people that, and newer people, because I'll tell you a nice story. But I'm babbling, so I'll tell a nice story later. But there's a lot of beautiful leftists that love Deep Space Nine of all different ages. And it's a beautiful thing. And I want there to be a document for someone that's revisiting Deep Space Nine and wants a recap show that has just a lens that they can relate to.
So let's not bury the lead. Scott, can you tell us about this episode? I don't even think I gave the episode name or number yet. So it's season 3, episode 19, Through the Looking Glass. Can you tell us about this episode? A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighter's Brew, break-free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighter's Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com.
Through the Looking Glass, we start with Odo suggesting that Quark is having a Vol fight with Morn, the lovable Cheers-type character that never talks. That apparently, you know, Quark and Morn were having basically like animal fights or something. But Ben shows up. He's like, I have work to do. And O'Brien shows up in some interesting clothes and he has to talk to Ben. But then he pulls out the blicky and says, come with me. And you're like, wait, which Miles is this? Because if you've been watching this show, Miles shows up. There's so many different Miles. And I have a feeling that this is not the Miles that we know and love. They're off to somewhere. And guess who it is? It's Mirror Miles, evidenced as when Ben asks when they are. And Miles says, through the looking glass, which is like a little nod to Alice in Wonderland and mirrors. And, I will now be calling this iteration of Miles Mirror Miles or Smiley, which is his nickname given to him by Mirror Ben. So Ben disarms Smiley, but Smiley reminds him that they're in the mirror world. And we get a little update since the last mirror episode that we covered, Crossover. In the episode Crossover, after Kira and Bashir crossed over, they caused a ruckus. This led to a rebellion by the Terrans, which is what the mirror universe calls humans and the people that work with them, against the Klingon-Cardassian alliance. Mirror Sisko led the rebellion until he died in an explosion. So this is in the middle of some transactions in the middle of the war, and they want our Ben to take his place for one last mission. Mirror Miles Smiley's explains that Mirror Ben's counterpart, who was married to Jennifer. Now, as we know, in Deep Space Nine, Jennifer was also Ben's wife, who died sort of at the hands of Picard as Locutus of Borg. We see that in the first episode. But Mirror Jennifer is working on some tech, a sensor array that will help the Alliance weed out rebellion-based starships. And if Mirror Jennifer doesn't leave Tarak Nor, which is what it's called, which is what Deep Space Nine in our regular universe used to be called during the Cardassian occupation, they're worried that if Mirror Jennifer doesn't abandon the tech, the rebellion will have to either kill Jennifer or they will lose this war. It'll all have been for nothing. And Ben realizes that he's not willing to lose Jennifer again. On Tarak Nor, Mirror Jennifer meets with Mirror Kira, or as we'll call Intendant Kira. So she's like the Grand Poobah, the leader of Tarak Nor. And the Intendant Kira is hedonistic, has a lust for life, and she's got some challenges. And the Intendant tells Mirror Jennifer that Mirror Benjamin is dead. Intendant and Mirror Ben had a complicated relationship. You can see that in the previous episode. And it seems that Mirror Jennifer does not care and just is hoping that the sensor array will create less casualties, less war. She hopes that quelling rebellion will allow the intendant to make the system better from within, that they can have better oppression and less bad violence. And so then we see Smiley and Ben be like, look, when you start playing Ben, our Ben was not very nice. He won't be missed. Call me Smiley and be aggressive. On the rebel base, we see Mirror Rom angry over the death of his brother, Mirror Quark, Mirror Bashir, and Mirror Tuvok. Now, Tuvok is a Vulcan whose counterpart is important to Voyager and another show. But if I were to say that, that would involve a spoiler. And they're all arguing strategy. The Mirror team is willing to do or die missions with low chance of return to invoke fear. And they're willing for casualties. They're willing to be nasty. They're willing to be messy. Because also remember, in the Mirror universe, people just have different values. So I wouldn't say it's bad or good. I think it's more like hedonistic and more self-serving. And also the Mirror logic doesn't always work on every show that does the Mirror stuff. But we can talk about that later. Ben explains that the rumors of his death were greatly exaggerated and was part of the propaganda machine by the Alliance. And then we see Mirror Dax, who shows up and appears to be Mirror Ben's mistress. Mirror Ben was, you know, seeing a lot of people. It's highly implied that they have relations, and it's very highly implied in this episode that they have relations, to, like Mirror Jadzia and regular Ben have relations, which is complex in so many ways and makes me feel uncomfortable in some ways. On Terek Nor, Intendant Kira is angry with Mirror Garak for being a bad leader and angry at the productivity in like the Slaver Bay, the ore factory that's in Terek Nor, where people just create things as a part of life. To raise morale, the Intendant decides to have some Terran workers executed. Garak notes that the Intendant has been off since Mirror Ben got the axe. There is energy, and there's a lot of power dynamics here. There's a lot of strange power dynamics in this episode, and there's also strange dynamics of friendship and physical relationships. But I don't know that you and I are the best equipped people to posit on the sexual notions of revolution, but they do exist and they are there. Ben and Mirror Jadzia are talking strategy. Mirror Jadzia believes that the rebellion is probably a lost cause. Remember, the Mirror people can be very selfish and thinks things were better. It was better when we were oppressed and we should just abandon the revolution. Me and you just get out of here. But Ben's like, nah, the rebellion needs Jennifer off the ship, Mirror Jennifer. They don't think that Ben can actually persuade Mirror Jennifer and point out that Mirror J hates Ben and they probably need to kill her. Ben then like shows some character. He like smacks Mirror Bashir, and Smiley points out that the Jennifer on this side would not be better off dead. That if she can side with them, she can help them develop some cool stuff. So it's decided that they will go to Terek Nor. At Terek Nor, Mirror Rom, acting as a double agent, is indicating to the Intendant that Sisko is alive and has ideas to recapture him. Smiley reminds Sisko that he almost fooled everyone and that Mirror Jennifer is different than the Jennifer Ben knew, and just understand that this is going to be challenging. So it turns out that, you know, in this universe, Sisko and Jennifer, it was an unloving marriage of convenience, and they pretty much hate each other. Sisko and Smiley get surrounded by Alliance ships on their way to Terek Nor and are captured. When Sisko leaves the airlock, he gives the Intendant a kiss, and they briefly discuss the possibility of his execution. Avery is such a good actor. The intendant confronts Smiley for betrayal, and Smiley is just—he just wants freedom, and he's sent back to the ore processing unit by the intendant. Intendant leads Sisko to her quarters, explaining that due to trust issues, she might actually have to get rid of him for morale, and is having a trouble thinking of a good political reason to keep him alive, other than the fact that his pure existence makes Mira Garrick mad. Ben meets with Mira Jennifer. Ben fights his emotions, seeing corporeal, a version of the love of his life, who he hasn't seen for many years. And Mira Jennifer lambasts Ben for being a bad person and philanderer, and posits why Ben left the marriage to be a pirate for the intendant. Because if you remember from the last time that we went to a Mira episode, this version of Ben is just nasty and just in it for the pleasure. He's a pleasure seeker. And Mira Jennifer believes that the revolution is a farce and is just causing more death and will not make a change. And Ben explains that he's there to rescue her. And Ben thinks that maybe Mira Jennifer is doing this because he is part of the rebellion. Like, I'm doing this, so you're doing that. And then this is an argument about safety versus freedom versus dignity. That the notion that rebellion is causing more pain than the actual oppression, which is so invisibly false. You know, Ben apologizes for his past misdeeds and begs Mira Jennifer to help. And you know, she says, well, at least they know they're prisoners. Ben sends a subdermal text message to Smiley that things are working out, and Smiley creates a diversion to get out of the ore prison to plan the escape, causing a little bit of a rebellion. Mira Jennifer is down with this. She's going to help. Sisko then is rocking double guns and, again, having a lot of fun with the role. And shoots a bunch of people. So I'm hoping the phasers are unstunned, because if he just like killed a bunch of mirror people, it's never really dealt with. In a mini uprising, they get to an airlock and they lay upon a dead mirror ROM. There's a shootout with the intendant Garrick and the Alliance. They are at a deadlock, but Ben has a plan. They run to the ore center, because if this Tarak Nor is anything like their Tarak Nor, he knows what he can do. So Ben informs everyone that he has started the self-destruct sequence and that the intendant is given 8 minutes and 30 seconds to let them go or everyone will die. Mira Garrick says Ben is bluffing. Intendant knows that Ben is not. They make a deal. Everyone will escape. No one has to die today. Ben and the team will leave and return. Tarak Nor, no boom boom. Back in the Badlands in the Rebellion place, everyone is figuring things out. So Mira Jennifer is going to work for the Revolution, and Mira Jennifer is like, you are not my Ben. And he's like, yep, you're right. I'm not your Ben. Your Ben is dead. And she's like, he wasn't a very nice guy. And our Ben says, Smiley will tell you all about who I am if you want to know more. And he can tell you a little bit about the mirror worlds. Ben tells the rebellion that he's going to talk to the Romulans, but Smiley and Mira Jennifer know that this is a return trip to our dimension. I'm sure we'll never go back.
If you love the Southpaw Project, become one of our financial supporters. It'll help us supplement the cost of running this project, the incredible time and energy we put into it 7 days a week, and you'll be giving us some breathing room, not only to juggle Southpaw with our day jobs, but also to expand Southpaw into other areas. We can't exist without your contributions. Show your Southpaw solidarity by supporting us at southpawpod.com. So I know this plot. Ceasefire and peace through killing anyone who would ever resist your hegemony. That's Western diplomacy in a nutshell. But that's just the backdrop of this episode. The actual episode is a heist story. Con your way to stealing Jennifer from the heart of the enemy while pretending to be someone else. Scott, What did you think about how this episode handled the Mirror Universe Rebellion?
I think it was a little afraid to say it with its full chest, but it did bring up some topics that I thought were smart. But they, a bunch of times they're like, oh, well, at least when we were oppressed, there was less death, so maybe we should go back to that. But they were like trying to say some things, and I feel like they didn't realize that they were telling stories about the Western death machine and the real politic of a certain Henry that passed away recently. But they're just like, oh, there's a rebellion and we need to stop it, or should we start it? And there isn't like the imperative that happens in Starfleet, where you're not supposed to like interact with other planets if they haven't reached a certain part of technology. There aren't really rules for how to deal with a mirror dimension where everyone's just sort of in a bad mood. And Ben, being righteous and self-righteous, decides that he's just going to do his best and try to help, and is just really happy to see Jennifer again.
This is also them returning to Ben playing somebody else again and trying not to interfere with the timeline too much. We just had this not that long ago. Well, for us, it was a long time ago, but as far as episode count, it wasn't that long ago, because he did that also in San Francisco with the Bell riots not long ago.
It'll never happen again.
But to your point about them playing the Mirror Universe Rebellion, you know, not with their chest proud, right? It did play it very comical or even just silly, right? To the point you made, like, it just made them seem silly. It made the rebellion seem silly, right? They could have used kind of the Mirror Universe almost as a satire to like say some other stuff or do some other stuff, but they didn't go there.
They didn't, unfortunately. They just said things very subliminally and like talked a little bit about, you know, subterfuge and starting revolutions and quelling revolutions and being like, are revolutions okay if people are dying on the way to revolution? And I don't know, like, you know, the idea of a bloodless coup is sort of a farce. People die when revolutions happen, usually, unfortunately.
Now with Jennifer, she repeats a lot of the oppressor's talking points. She reminds me of the Commodore class. She's literally a collaborator. But then she switches sides pretty quick. That's when it really felt like this was an episode that started out like it had some meat, but then found its groove as a middle episode where things have to happen easily. And I think you said sometimes watching middle filler episodes are kind of tough. And I would also add it's sometimes just disappointing in that they start out like they could have been something, not a middle episode, and then they just become a middle episode. So what did you think about those scenes with Jennifer and Sisko when they were talking about politics?
It was just like something I wanted a little bit more. It was like two people that just like read a couple articles in Jacobin having a coffee and like talking and really sort of needing someone to help with some of the larger topics.
They needed their kids to show up and explain some stuff.
Or something, yeah. Because like right now, like I've strewn in front of me, I have, you know, Ursula K. Le Guin's, you know, interpretation of the Tao Te Ching. I have a book about the African cosmology of the Bantu Congo and the Wretched of the Earth, and Trotsky's biography of Stalin just around because for some ideas. They're more having more basic discussions. Like they watched an episode of a Vouch podcast and now want to talk about politics.
Yeah.
Please Vouch people, don't start a fight with me. I don't want any internet smoke with anyone.
They can get nasty. Some of the things Sisko says to Jennifer about how it's better to know whose side the baddies are on reminded me a lot of the problems in general with liberals. At least with conservatives, they tell you where they're standing. Liberals will act like your friend and stab you in the back. Jennifer, in this case, is the liberal who acts like she's helping the rebels by saying no more killing, but then is going to help exterminate them all. In the context of the Palestinian genocide, it's the U.S. liberal politician stance, where they're like, we're helping Palestinians by genociding them. Scott, did you find any of the framing in these conversations familiar with the current U.S. framings?
Absolutely. And like discussions I have with people, like establishment Democrats in my life, being like, well, we need to vote blue no matter who. We need to do this no matter what. And I'm just like, my brother in Abraham, I don't know where you've been in the past 4 years, but we've been in under a Democratic president and lost Roe v. Wade, lost all of these things. Like things are bad. And you're just being like, well, still vote for this guy. And I think the charade is changing. And I believe that you will see, this is a time capsule. I believe that this election will be the smallest turnout since Carter and Ford.
Mm. Now, with this episode, there's a lot of liberal versus revolutionary energy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a vibe I like about this episode, but there's also a lot I don't like things happening too easily. I really didn't like the acting or directing too much in this episode. They went over the top with mirror universe means horny overload.
Very horny.
My wife said it felt a lot like a soap opera episode, like Young and the Restless. Young people probably don't remember, but back in the day when everybody just had like a few channels, it was all network TV. And in the daytime, it was something called soap operas, where it's all horniness. And then there's always the mysterious twin pretending to be someone else. So along those lines, with this episode, the acting, writing, directing all felt rushed. It had this very political, very meaty backdrop, but it felt rushed. It felt lazy, very much like a soap opera, which also tries to have like very like high-minded, big scenarios only to do stuff like this. Scott, you're more of a connoisseur of sci-fi entertainment like this. What did you think about this episode?
You know, Bell Hooks said, challenge notions of masculinity that equate manhood with the ability to exert power over others. And I don't know that she would have thought that when watching this episode. I think I just wanted to talk about that there's some strange concern with masculinity in the mirror universe and toxic notions of it that again, as you're pointing out, we didn't get to dig into. So this is a 3.5 out of 5 star Star Trek episode. It's just, which is pretty much all of them. You know, it's a 3. It's interesting because it's mirror. It's interesting because we get to see Jennifer. It's interesting because Avery just does a wonderful job in his acting role playing this silly, sinister dude. But yeah, it's just like kind of silly, and it's not a trope that I need a lot of. And of course, we're never going back to the mirror universe in the Star Trek show ever again.
Scott, tell us about the next episode.
Improbable Cause. Something's going on with Garak.
Until then. If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts program if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.